What I have observed is that AI have turned into a lot of the execution heavy tasks into something that is quick and simple and give you quick feedback, right? So I would say that me as a leader, I try to be open-minded and always bring in young talents who is getting into this AI world with fresh mind, no prior experience. How do we go back to the ground zero and said, what is the best way with the help of the AI that can do this much more efficiently? So that's what I always remind myself, where can I learn that experience, especially for the people that is coming forward, fresh mind, knows much more about the AI.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solinox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in.
Welcome to AI Advantage. I'm your host, Solomon Williams. We have a special guest today. We're joined by Michael Wu. He's the general manager and the president of Phison Technology. So they are a global leader in semiconductor and storage solutions. Michael, I'm really excited to have you on today. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good to, very honored to be invited in this podcast. So looking forward to today's conversation, Solomon.
Perfect. Thank you. So I was real curious on it because, you know, in today's time of where, how the market is, you hear so much about AI and a lot of on, you know, what it can do, the new software it can do, the capabilities. Can you tell us a little bit about how did you start with Phison? How did it come out to where you're now in such a leadership position? Can you kind of walk us through your journey?
Of course. Yeah. So I actually come to United States for the first time when I come here to study college, get my master's degree here at Virginia Tech. So it was a good learning to kind of get my foundation in. After I graduated, spent a couple years as a test engineer at a RF company, learning how to kind of test all the new devices on the RF side. And then later on, I joined Phison, where Phison does not have, even though we are the inventor of a USB controller back in 2000, we have no presence in the US. So the goal is how do we grow, not only support the local customer in the US, but also grow into a strategic location where a lot of the new technology, new demand, new requirement can be collected from the US customers and then make the company better and make a better product. So I've been here for almost 20 years, starting as an FAE engineer supporting the customer. Now we have a full-blown team that has an enterprise validation. We have a corporate marketing, CTO office, business development, and just, you know, making day-to-day decisions, benefiting the customer, the headquarter to develop a better product.
With you kind of coming straight in and, you know, you're having to start the, I can only imagine just the, your journey through it all, like as you're building the company in more on the, on this US side, what are the key aspects that you've learned through it out? What were the key things that you've had over your two decades, you would say, Michael?
I would say that, you know, it may sound very simple answer, but I would always start with customer experience. And starting as an FAE, where every inquiry that comes to you is about feedback about your product, how to make it better, how to solve the problem for the customer. After you finish a project, you want to promote another product to the same customer. So you kind of go into a very, you know, reinforcement kind of feedback loop of what the customer tells you and how to make your product better. But along the way, you found out that, okay, now we got one customer here. Now it's grown to 10 customer, 20 customer. And I'm sure-handed, start to grow the team, FAE team. And then I guess the next cycle will be, how do I create a team of experts that really can collect all the requirements and make decision on what product is best to be developed and then collaborate with the headquarter engineering and make the product out. So just kind of starting with the customer experience and overall grow into a organization where it's end to end from getting the requirements, develop the product, and be able to validate the product. And then finally, how to market a product. As you know, we start out with a company that we do a lot of private labeling. We don't have a brand. We are the brand behind the brand. Mm-hmm. But how do we now grow into a brand company, you know, later on in the stage of the company?
And with that, as you know, because you have to be able to understand more on the requirements and obviously sell, you know, through the time that you've had and as you've grown into more on that leadership, bringing in the right team, you know, getting to make sure that you're making sure that you're positioning the product the right way. What would you say like the biggest shifts that you've seen during the time as you've progressed and gotten, you know, the company within the US region to a good state? What are the demands and what the biggest shifts that you've seen thus far in your leadership?
Yeah, I would say the very first shift is going from a retail kind of mentality, going into an OEM mentality. That is a big shift for the company. And the biggest difference is when you develop product for retail, there's more opportunity to be flexible, to change things, to change the firmware, to update the firmware. But when you go to the OEM side, everything has to be more fixed, more rigid, more careful about designing and validating. So that's the big shift. The other big shift for Phison that is really changes the company is how do we go from a follower to a leader, right? You have to understand in this storage world, there are about 7 companies that makes a NAND flash today, right? They go end to end, right? They have from, you know, they have the memory. Some of them do controller integration and they have a brand to the product. So for Phison, who has a core technology is the controller, but we are relying on other people's NAND. At the beginning of the company, we are trying to see how do we catch up to the leader, which happened to be a NAND maker, right? That time, I remember it was Samsung. So in 2019, that all changed. We had an opportunity to do a product Gen 4 where nobody is there to jump into it because the Gen 4 market is unproven at that point. But we took a chance with AMD. We developed a product ahead of everyone else, have an 18-month leadership to Samsung at that time, or, you know, whoever followed, and be the only player for about 18 months. So that mentality changed the entire philosophy, how we go about develop a new products and how we want to lead the market, right? So I think that's probably the biggest shift that we have personal experience.
So once you've gotten to that place, once, you know, because that's the key part in always doing competitive analysis of your competitors. And once you've brought that forward to it, where's the part to where you have to make sure that you present that to the market and to your current partners and to upsell to get into that next stage? What have you seen that's really worked well for folks that are listening in, other leaders? What have you learned that you would give back to help with that?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And from our experience is when you want to be the first to market, you have to accept that there will be parts of the design that will not be perfect, right? And also, so you have to take a very good, I would say, educated design and estimation. Sometimes customer doesn't know what they want, actually, right? So you just have to come out with a solid foundation that, okay, this is what the market should be. I'm the first to market, knowing that there are some parts that may not be perfect, right? Nobody's going to tell you do exactly this because your competitor is this. So be better, right? So there's some risks you have to take, but you make your best educated guess. You get the product out in the market. And when people catches you in about 6 months, you're already working on the improvement of your first generation, where you get actual feedback from the customer. you also learn about what your competitor is doing for the first generation, and then you come back with the follow-up design. So that's the winning formula that has worked with us after Gen 4. We did it again in Gen 5, and we try to make it in Gen 6 again.
Want to get your take on this as well is you hear a lot with how AI is coming forward. It's changing the dynamic and the whole, you know, paradigm shift of throughout it all. And do you feel that a lot of leaders and, you know, other folks are having the technology lead the business and versus the business leading the technology? And I just want to get your thoughts because of there's new features and there's new, you know, cloud with MCP protocols and being able to connect to different applications. Do you feel that it's kind of been missing the goalpost of where is the actual pain point and then utilizing AI and using the technology to fix that or to make it more streamlined? What are your thoughts on it? I'm curious.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we kind of had this discussion prior to the call. Yeah. I think this is a time where everyone, including you and me, right? You know, if we have the luxury, we should just pause the workout we're doing and just really, you know, relearn how we do the things that we used to do in the past, right? With the help of the AI. And what I have observed is that AI have turned into a lot of the execution heavy tasks into something that's quick and simple and give you quick feedback, right? So I would say that, you know, me as a leader, I try to, you know, be open-minded and always kind of and bring in young talents who is getting into this AI world with fresh mind, no prior experience. How do we kind of go back to the ground zero and said, what is the best way with the help of the AI that can do this much more efficiently? So that's what I always kind of remind myself. Where can I learn that experience, especially for the people that is coming forward, fresh mind, knows much more about the AI? Where can I learn from the younger generation? So I think this is very important for the leadership to be able to say, hey, my past experience may not be applicable right now.
I think it goes into how are we creating a new culture that's driven in AI native thinking that can be able to excel and complement as, you know, the new generations added on with the skill set. So I think do you think that's really the goal point for us as in the leadership side to how do we implement that for the younger folks that are wanting to get into the workforce?
Yes. Definitely pay attention to, you know, how to make it better. Why not today, right? And then when you kind of have that mindset, then you will start to trigger you, okay, what are the available tool that allows me to have a next milestone discussion tomorrow instead of 2 weeks later.
And then we were talking a little while back of, you know, now is a big discussion and this is what Phison is really doing with the new SSD for the AI chip is you're hearing a lot of repatriation, like of people, the paradigm shifting back to people wanting to move away from the cloud now because of either compliance or data sovereignty. You know, we're kind of seeing it go back into somewhat of an on-prem side. So for this discussion on that, you know, where are the leaders and now with this bare metal on the SSD cards for Phison, what do you see really the market on how it's trending and so far? What are your thinkings of it for the next few years?
Yeah. So a very good question. I think you have seen that the whole world is, you know, being remade. We're in a new industry revolution where every big companies, AI companies and big CSP, they are building out AI data centers, right? In the, you know, 23, 24, it's very much about how do I create that large knowledge base, the big, large language model, right? That allows that get all the human knowledge and data and latest information into a big brain that allows, you know, that allows critical thinking, decision making and all that. But then in this year and then moving forward to the next, you know, 5 to 10 years is really about how to use those knowledge into something that we could apply from the day-to-day basis, right? So what have we seen that for certain technology to be very widely valuable, right? Of course, a lot of things can be done on the cloud, right? But with the AI, especially there is a interaction now is just beyond computers. There's also physical AI that's interacting with the robots. And with so much information that is available that needs to make a quick decisions, we believe that we need to have a on-prem strategy that allows every devices or every robots or every computer, right, to be able to process this, interact with the human beings with the AI information. And then the other thing is that, especially with the globalization, with the geopolitical atmosphere, we think that every country and every organization should have their AI being controlled within their premise, right? So that makes the AI has to be more private, more on-prem. And with that, when that safeguard is in place, there will be much more usage across the board for AI. And that actually would regenerate new demands on the cloud, right? So I think that, you know, as you see that the smartphone, when it's created in 2007, it really exploded the whole internet era because of the physical on-prem devices, right, that everyone has access to.
Yeah. You know, I think it goes back to, I've had to kind of go back into my foundations of how it works. I'm more on the bare metal of how are we, when we put AI into it, you kind of how we have to look at it in kind of a 0-1 term of the IOPS, the input and output of the SSD, of how it's pulling in the latency of the networking up that goes in. Do you feel that it's those are those core structures and that's what Bison's really bringing into on bringing the security, as you said, you know, more on the governance and the risk assessments of it when people are moving to the cloud, moving back on-prem or utilizing more of a hybrid approach of keeping maybe mission critical applications on, you know, on their on-prem? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So maybe I'll go back to a little bit of how inference works, right? So right now, in order to have your device on-prem and be able to process a large language model, right, there needs to be the data and a lot of the data you are talking, they call the context memory, right? It has to store in a KV cache, right? And KV cache today is typically stored in a small density, expensive, volatile memory. It's called DRAM. Okay, that's today, right? So, and then typically the larger density, much more cost effective, it's called NAND flash. So what we have done, being a NAND flash SSD provider, we were thinking, how do we combine both into a large pool? So how can I take a large SSD, SSDs to be part of the KV cache memory so that devices can actually all of a sudden start to process a large model on-prem, everything on-prem, right? So that's the technology we're bringing to the world today, is that, you know, using what we do best on the SSD and combine with the DRAM to make many devices that's able to, one of the most popular killer apps right now is OpenClaw. How do we run OpenClaw on-premise so that it's more secure and also more cost-effective, while also give the flexibility for people when there's a more complex task, right, have access to the cloud? So this hybrid model is our kind of next level innovation to take from being a commodity SSD provider into integration of a system that allows both on-prem and on-cloud access for the AI.
I'm glad you brought it up on OpenClaw in your perspective of it with being with enterprises, because when you first heard of OpenClaw, the big part of was obviously it did so much on the consumer, what people really wanted AI to do, but there was always the security factor of prompt injection of people coming in and, you know, taking the, it was a double-edged sword for it, you know, but as obviously it was one of the biggest downloads within Git history, it was on GitHub, it was pulling through. So the market was obviously, this is what the people wanted. So when you saw that just on yourself, on your personal side and how to integrate this in, but you understood the security aspects and the naysayers. How is it from when those pieces come up? How do you balance and how do you leverage the trade-offs of this is what the market wants? How do you, as a, you know, C-suite or for a leader, how do you make that assessment and find the alternatives? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think definitely it's one of the most viral piece of software that's ever happened in the GitHub. And, you know, it's Jensen Huang mentioned about agentic AI is coming, and that's the realization of agentic AI that's really happened right in front of us, right? So with any new technology, there's always security risks, right? So we understand, especially it's doing a lot of this function is trying to operate your local machine as if you were operating it, right? So the companies are putting safeguards on where it can have access to locally on the data, right? But most of the so-called interaction with the brain, right? With the brain. I see that when it's accessed, well, many companies are focused on how to safeguard or create boundary within your computer of what data can be accessed to. They forgot that a lot of data is exchanging with the cloud. So how do we prevent that? You have to have the model, the brain, on premise. But you have another problem, right? Most of the machine, most of the PC does not have the capability to have a local large language model store right on your computer, because it requires a lot of DRAM. And so how we come in play is that how do we use SSD as DRAM so that your local machine now all of a sudden is possess the capability of a large language model that's not required to all on the cloud. All your tokens are all paid for because it's all on-prem. And but at the same time, have flexibility to access the cloud while it's absolutely needed.
So to that point, for organizations really trying to keep, you know, they're having it the hub within bring local for security and the sovereignty, what are the biggest trade-offs from your experience, hardware trade-offs they need to understand around the SSD, the DRAM, you know, the latency and the cost?
Yeah, I would say that the biggest trade-off is people want to be hassle-free. They will just sign up for the cloud, right? They just go to the cloud, they pay a fee, recurring fee. And in the past, it works, right? Company have subscribed to 10 different software that does, you know, certain things by certain software. But the agentic AI changed the whole landscape, right? It's something that you could do 10 things now, right? But what people do not realize is that, well, they can easily have this call experience. Everything is all paid for. It's natural language, but wait until you get the bill, right? The token costs, right? That's the new currency, the token costs, right?
Yes.
So the trade-off will be how much you would invest. You don't invest in your physical infrastructure and just rely 100% on the cloud. And then the more you use it, the more you have to rely on it. So your destiny or budget is tied to the cloud. That's one trade-off people are making. The other trade-off is that, okay, people say, okay, I'm going to do it on-prem. I'm just going to spend on the infrastructure. But with the current hardware is you just need to keep buying more DRAM, more GPU. And you buy the GPU, not because of GPU computing, it's because of the memory, right? Because now memory officially become a bottleneck. So that's a trade-off they're making, is spending way too much on the hardware just for the memory. So that's why it's timely that using SSD as a memory concept, which is also endorsed by at the CES, right? They call it the inference context memory storage. That is going to be a game changer. How do we use a storage now become part of the memory for the AI inference?
You know, I really liked how you brought that, because I think a lot of even small to medium businesses, they think of on the cloud, but I'm curious to get your thought. There's not really a lot of talk into going on-prem, because you think of the CapEx, like I need to spend a large amount of money to bring in the racks of servers or bring in so much time. Do you think that we should be talking about that more?
Yes. So the world that we envision is that why do you need a server to run a inference for the organization? And the only way to do that is how do we redesign the hardware architecture and leverage the power of the SSD as a cache, right? So very much that we are able to have many demonstration of compacting a rack of server as opposed, you know, compacting a rack of server, the cost that requires to build that server into a single workstation with couple GPUs with the trade-off of time, right? There is a trade-off of time. It's going to be slower, but at the same time, right? It's what's, it will kind of change how people think about getting into owning your own devices where you could process everything locally. Right. So that's the pricing, you know, in the past history, we see robot arms, we see electric cars. When the pricing gets to a certain point, you will just create a new generation of use case, right? On-prem that people do not realize today.
And I do agree with that. So, you know, with you, Michael, like what is your vision, you know, that you've been able to lead Fison? What is your goal for the U.S. side on the operation for the next year and or two, I would say?
Yeah, we very much believe that Fison needs to be moving upward on the upstream, meaning we are not only looking at just on the storage as a component, but we have to look at the system with the software with it to create a value add system for the end customer, right? So that's how we envision. We want to recreate the computer architecture to create more, you know, a kind of a total solution devices for the end customer to, you know, better use AI processing and also, you know, just a storage solution overall.
You know, and with that, I'm curious on having it because that's the future of it and having it to where as we move forward with AI native and, you know, new companies are coming forward and utilizing a brand new insightful ideas and creatives, you know, with you from you starting off, as you said, you know, you came into the US and you've had to really grow your own hero story really to get to where you are now with Fison. You know, and that's kind of a question I was going to ask earlier in the interview is what have you, for folks that are wanting to get forward to get to the next stage of that small to more getting into that medium size or coming from that medium to that enterprise side, more on that human level on the thinking of it, what have you learned now and having to deal with now with Fison being a billion-dollar corporation, having to deal with more on the international components? What are the things that you've seen that really helped you in your career?
Pay attention to how the market is evolving. When there's different stages where, you know, in 2000s, there's a bunch of removable devices getting into the smartphone. And then later on, 2013, with the Ultrabook, where it requires SSD, and then all the way to, you know, 2020, you know, the enterprise. Pay attention to where the market is evolving and where the margin of the product is moving into. Have a strategy. That's also, that's one part. The other part is a global strategy, right? You know, a formula that works in the US may not work in China, may not work in India, may not work in Europe, right? I already see that Europe, there's a lot of neocloud company and they're all over the place. They're small and medium. They want to have their own on-premise server, even though there could be just one giant company that support the entire Europe. So it's a different dynamic within this region. And for example, China and India, we decided to partner with the local partner to use local to support the local brand, right? Instead of forcing a US or Taiwanese brand into those regions, right? So I think just observe the market dynamics and also geopolitical kind of dynamics as well, and know where your strategic supplier is all the time. You know, being a system integrator that had to rely on strategic supplier on the memory side, those are the elements I think it will help a company evolve into a billion-dollar company.
I really love that because I think it's, you don't really take that assessment of where I can put my company into, you know, another sphere, another culture. You're saying, you know, really understand locally where they're at, what, you know, take away the compliance or security. What is it that's really needed? Is that what you're saying? And then bring in, how do we adjust and fit to meet their needs? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's right.
I always ask this, Michael, as we're coming in for AI really shifting, we're seeing so much, you know, it's continuously getting better and more innovative. So if you had a magic wand, you're seeing how the market is going in the next 10 years or, you know, whichever, what would you love to accomplish, whether it's on the business side or whether it's for your own personal use? What would you love to see AI?
I think that what I would very much want AI to do is not to remove all my creativity, right? What's so convenient is that when you ask for something, it create like five different versions for you and you just pick, right? Your brain stop working. The creative side of things start to be, okay, give me five answers, I'll just choose the best, right? So I would say that if there's a way, a magic one that will allow to kind of extract the elements of my creativity to create something that is truly personalized and not generic, right? I think that's the experience that I will be looking for, because at the end of the day, people in China, people in Taiwan, people in US, they all access to the same brain, the AI, right? But how do we make it personalized for everyone? It requires a lot of work to be done on the AI development side to help and assist asking the right questions and extracting the data to be able to make the AI personality different for everyone.
You're kind of seeing it because all of our life, everything is data. I was even seeing with Claude now that it can connect now, it's a beta now, that it can connect to my chart. It can connect to all of my, you know, Aura Ring, you know, now that it's able to track my heart rate. So it has all our lives are now is just data. And then now it's metadata, just breaking it down. So yeah, I love that to have it to where now we can get to a full personalized way and amplifying how my creativity is, how I am, you know. I think that's where we're headed in that time. You think?
Right. And I'm just very much looking forward, you know, where AI is taking us to so-called level one unique personality. How do we even improve beyond that, right? And have more kind of stylized personality and, you know, with the help of the AI, right? Yeah. So I think that's what I'm looking very much forward to.
You know, I've really enjoyed this conversation, Michael. I think really getting your perspective really with, you know, how the market's moving and just honestly, just from your expertise of going from the ground up, your journey from to where you are now and where you started. So, you know, for folks that the listeners having in, you know, where can they be able to one, follow your journey? And then two, for companies or for the leadership that's listening in on this, on the interview, you know, what is the key factor that you should, what you would ask them or what they need to think about to if the Phison's for your new SSD card would be right for their company and for where their market?
I would invite you guys to go to our company website, www.phison, where we have the full portfolio of our product offering is there, a little bit about also our company. And then to see our brand new enterprise product line, go to Pascari.com. That's the name of our enterprise brand, Pascari, Pascari.com. And the technology I mentioned to you earlier about using SSD as a cache memory, we call it adaptive. So that's all in the website that you could see.
And then for the audience listening, we'll make sure to have that down in the description so you can easily be able to click on and be able to see.
Michael Wu, look for Michael Wu Phison. You should be able to find it.
Perfect. Perfect. And then so for the folks listening in, thank you so much for tuning in to this conversation. And then Mike, I have one last question. You know, I've been having it for the series so far. For your next question that you would have to ask for, you know, a leader or anyone else, whether it's a founder, what would you be to keep in mind for an advisor what they should ask themselves as they go forward for the next guest?
So you're asking what my advice is for the next leader?
Yeah, what question they should really think about, like whatever is in their business or what just in leadership or just whichever, like what question they should ask themselves that's helped you on it, just on a simple question.
Oh, okay. That's a good question.
Oh, you're good?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll keep it in mind. Well, you can reach out to me later and then I'll put it in for them to think of.
Yeah. Is it okay to say it now or?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Cause you're going to edit it anyway, right? Okay. So the advice I would give to my fellow leader is that dream big, know who to hire that can dream to have the same big dream as you, right? I think that the execution side of things, a lot of it can be facilitated with the help of the AI, but it's the people that has the same vision that could make the same decision or make certain critical decision for your organization that is going to change your organization.
I think that's really a good point because it brought back to what you were saying beforehand, Michael, on, you know, how you brought your team up in the U.S. side and that bringing together on the right of people to be able to really figure out how do we get forward and push past, you know, Samsung, as you said, back in 2019. So, Michael, thank you so much for tuning in. For the folks listening in, we'll catch you next time on the next episode of the AI Advantage. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more no-fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at salonox.net.